Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hey, thank you again for joining. My name is Lee Heisman. Welcome to The Shrimp Tank, brought to you live Tuesdays from 4 to 5 on Business Radio X, where we interview the brightest and best business owners in the state of Georgia about the do's and don'ts about starting, growing, and creating a successful business. The Shrimp Tank also brings you live pitches of new business ideas from young entrepreneurs across the state of Georgia in front of our panel of business owners to see whether their businesses will sink or swim. I'm here today with my co-host, Chris Hanks, the executive director and founder of the KSU Entrepreneurial Program. Chris.
Lee, good to have you in the driver's seat again.
It's good to be
this
back.
Is awesome. Yeah.
Well, I've heard a lot of compliments from the show we did 2 weeks ago.
Right. And, it's our natural chemistry.
You know, Ted walked out of last week's show and said, that was wonderful. And Laura looked at him and said, you know, the week before that you missed, Ted, I think was better. It was nice. And she's still employed by him today.
And that's a slam on Ted.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been around the campus a lot with you recently, and I get to hear a lot about what you say and how you really are. You're in your environment in front of all the students. And today I happened to get hit with my telephone, and I'm glad we talked about it prior because you forgot, but I get hit from a notification on LinkedIn about significance. And I know you talk a lot about the campus, but what was that all about? I saw something from you about significance today.
Yeah, well, part of entrepreneurship is creating significance, right? I think we're all haunted by a fear of insignificance. And so much early in our entrepreneurial journeys, we chase success. But later we find out that's not enough, right? You know, hey, I want to retire at 35 and live on the beach. Well, what about significance? And entrepreneurship offers you that unique ability to create significance, because the only way I really get successful as an entrepreneur is by creating value for others and serving others. And that's a powerful aspect of entrepreneurship.
No, I know you preach that to the students over there, and I know they appreciate that. You know, normally on the show today, we talk about a few topics for bringing our guest on. But I have to be honest, you know, we have a professional here on many levels.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I have heard prior to walking in here, there were people in the hallway actually telling me, I can't believe you have him on the show. I'm like, goodness, who do we have? So I'm going to change our roles here just for a moment and bring our guest on much sooner than normal. We have Michael Blake, president of Arpeggio Advisors, a business appraisal and strategic advisory firm headquartered here in Atlanta. And I will tell you, this was the cornerstone of my beginning relationship with you, Michael. I asked Michael ahead of time via email, hey, can you help me pronounce the name of your business? And this is something for entrepreneurs to take note of. He didn't call me. He didn't email me some phonetic description of it. I received an email back immediately with an actual audio file with Michael saying it. He was making it as simple and easy for me, which is what we always try to promote, entrepreneurs thinking outside the box. Michael, very impressive.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Don't give me credit. Give Apple credit. It was two button clicks, so.
Yeah, but the execution, making it as simple as possible, people tend to forget that. You know, they might spend an hour writing out this big phonetic explanation of how you pronounce it. May I ask exactly where that name came from?
When I started my own firm, I wanted to do two things with it in terms of the name. Well, really three. One, I wanted it to be inoffensive, and it's confusing, so it can't be offensive. The second is I wanted it to be at the head of the alphabet, because somehow that probably matters from an SEO perspective. But Aardvark Advisors sounded stupid. So, and there's no Aaron in my name, so that didn't make any sense either. And then third, my night job is I play in a rock band, and so arpeggio is a musical term, and so Arpeggio Advisors was born.
Wonderful. You know, and I saw that, and I was going to bring that up later, and I saw your massive iPad today. I was hoping maybe you can throw some tunes out on the show.
Well, the reason I bring this is a lot of people when I'm interviewed ask me, what is an arpeggio? I can explain to you the musical theory of an arpeggio, which means that it is a disaggregated chord. You have a chord which is several notes being played at once. With an arpeggio, you take a chord and you play the notes in sequence. But sometimes it's easier to show than it is to tell. So it's show or tell. So if that question came up, I'm prepared, but we don't have to turn this into a classical music station.
Fair. We'll do that offline. So the reason I brought Michael in, and Chris, you'll appreciate this, is, you know, I was reading an article from Business Insider the other day about 10 popular things that successful entrepreneurs do on Fridays. Now, this show is held every Tuesday from 4 to 5, But I looked and said, you know, what are these things? I'm curious what this Business Insider writer, Jacqueline Smith, pulled out. And I agreed with most of them. I wanted to get both of your opinions on these. First, they said they reflect on their accomplishments from the week. And I say that very specifically, they reflect on their accomplishments. People can focus on the things they didn't get done during the week, but instead they focus on the things they did get done, even as small as they may seem. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I get to go first? Guess
you
first,
get the
I
first,
guess.
Because you have more wisdom to drop. Boy.
The way I reflect on the past week is, oh my God, did I forget anything? And was there anything due that I screwed up? And hopefully that I didn't. And yay, we're not on food stamps. We still have a house. So those are sort of the, and I only say that quasi in jest. You know, a lot of entrepreneurship is a survival. It's surviving the week because so much gets thrown at you and you're kind of jumping hurdles and going under the limbo sticks. And if you manage to kind of get through that and execute, then at the end of the day, you hope that kind of good things have happened as a result of doing that.
Fair. You know, they focus also, Chris, comment on scheduling a to-do list, Chris. Scheduling a to-do list, how effective and important do you think that is?
For me, that's not very, because to-do lists, we always have more to do than we have time to do them. So it, for me, it frustrates me a little bit because I'll reflect at the end of the week of how much I didn't get done. And so that's hard for me. So what worked for me, and again, this is probably talking to the minority, because for me, this works, and I know this doesn't work for everybody, but if I started measuring time as opposed to number of items I crossed off the to-do list, like if I spent the appropriate amount of time, like I carved out 3 hours to work on the one thing that matters most, did I or did I not do that? Now, I didn't accomplish everything, but hey, I spent the time on the things that matter. That's an important measurable for me. What's hard about entrepreneurship, I think, is like in corporate life, you can confuse busyness with productivity. You know, you can go to a lot of meetings and do a lot of reports and, you know, hey, I worked an 8-9 hour day and I get to go home and I was busy. But in entrepreneurship, you don't get paid for busy. You know, it's outcomes versus effort. And that's the difference. So we have to be a lot more focused.
Wow. You know, the reason I bring these things up and the reason that this show is in existence today is, you know, we have a lot of entrepreneurs as young as elementary school, middle school, high school. And we're working intimately with Cherokee County, Chris, now, which we have a great meeting in 2 weeks. At the same time, it's also the college students and even the young entrepreneurs in business today that are listening on the show for these beautiful golden nuggets that you're throwing out there. Now, I'm sitting with, you know, my co-host, Chris Hanks, and our guest, Michael. And from my first two questions, you guys are clearly the cup half empty people. I'm complimenting. Let's focus on the small accomplishments. Well, I don't do that. Well, you know, I don't do the to-do list. So you guys clearly, I'm going to throw another one at you. Hopefully we can look at this in a positive light. Focusing on the accomplishments of others in your office on a Friday, going around the office and focusing on what your staff or what your team has accomplished other than yourself, but focusing on your team. Michael.
I don't think of that on a week-to-week basis, and my office is a little bit differently structured. But I will say this. The accomplishments in my life of which I am the most proud are ones where I have helped or others feel that I have helped them accomplish something. Like, you know, as it turns out, I've coached a number of teams in business plan competitions, and I've helped a number of the teams who I have coached have either used my expertise or have overcome it to win 6 competitions and hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash. And I'm very proud of that, because I think when you hold people up and you elevate other people over the long term, that elevates you.
Yeah. And that one, I like that thought. Like, what if you took a break once a week, like, or at least you focused on an outcome of once a week, I'm going to go around and focus on the accomplishments of others and thank them for what they do. Especially with millennials, we have to constantly show our appreciation and for their contribution, and we have to show recognition. Being a smaller organization, you can't compete with the 401k plan or the health benefits plan of a large Fortune 500, but I can out-recognize, I can out-appreciate. And that goes so far, especially, again, with millennials, that we have to constantly show that kind of recognition and appreciation.
No, it's so true. And Michael, great point as well. And, you know, we're going to come back to that because your history, you actually helped a lot of organizations. And even, I think I read that you helped an organization get funded on the Shark Tank. So a lot of the stuff you do and the history I've read, which I want to hear about more, is about the time and energy you put into nonprofits and the time and energy you put into others. So in that same note, Chris, on the millennials, I'll end on this topic. You know, they commented that simply saying goodbye to your team. Simply saying, have a good weekend, taking that moment to walk around the office and say goodbye and acknowledge each individual person. That was a big topic. I do concur with that. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's a very good point because we're treating you as a person, not as something that I get a return on investment on. You know, you're a person. I care. Hey, I value you. Goodbye. Have a great weekend. If we can connect on a personal level, we tend to get better results. I heard an entrepreneur say something that I thought it was interesting. He said, you know, I got really focused on people development and I just happened to get rich in the process. So that kind of thing where I'm focused on the person and the individual because, you know, we don't follow people to a machine gun nest, you know, for the paycheck, you know? So how do you get the best out of me? If you want to get the best out of me, you got to be a leader worth following. And that helps you. If I connect with you as a person, you care about me as an individual, it's more likely I'll care about you as an individual as well.
So Reagan, our project coordinator here at The Tank, is in the room and I'm looking to see if she's going to be hashtagging getting rich in the process, Chris. I like that, getting rich in the process. We're going to take a little break here. Alex is going to tell us about one of our sponsors. When we come back, we got to get into Michael, your business valuation. I have some ideas and thoughts and I have a lot of questions for you.
Are you praying that your accountant gets you a tax refund this year? If you said yes, then your tax plan has already failed. Go to oxygenfinancial.net to get our free, no-obligation guide on 6 ways to save money on taxes right now. Make a smart money move today. Go to oxygenfinancial.net to get your free guide today. Securities and Investments Advisory Services offered through NFP Advisory Services, LLC, NFPAS, member FINRA, CIPC. Oxygen Financial is not affiliated with NFPAS. NFPAS does not provide tax or legal advice.
I always love when you do that. It's worth it. I mean, we just might have that ad every time. It's most impressive. And then there's an auction going on in the other room. We're back live here at Business Radio X here at the Shrimp Tank. You can hear us every Tuesday from 4 to 5. And if you miss a program or you want to look at some of our last programs, you can go to www.shrimptankpodcast.com. Again, I'm Lee Heisman sitting with my host, Chris Hanks. And Michael, tell us a little about your business, about business valuation. I'll give you an outsider's perspective for the unexperts like ourselves. I hear people talk about business valuation. I hear people talking about multiples. I always joke when I hear that, and I don't have the experience you have, but I always say that, you know, I think that a synergy, I think that the buyer has the most value in what they see in that particular business. Give us a background of how you got into that and give us some golden nuggets in your realm.
Most people in my field use the term business valuation. I actually prefer the term business appraiser. And frankly, most people in my field do not like that term because they feel like it sets them up for liability. But I think if people pay me, I should be accepting liability. I should take responsibility for my opinions.
Fair.
So what I do is I appraise intellectual property and I appraise companies and corporate securities, usually for transactions, people buying and selling stuff. Okay. And so just like you wouldn't sell your car unless you looked at the blue book value. You wouldn't sell your house unless you had an appraisal done. I do that for businesses and intellectual property. One of the neatest things I'm doing right now is I'm appraising a bunch of copyrights to vintage paparazzi photographs. Kind of interesting. So how did I get into that? Well, I got into it kicking and screaming. I'm a recovering venture capitalist and investment banker. I liked venture capital, wasn't very good at it. I was very good at investment banking, but hated it. And I was dragged into business appraisal. Why was I dragged into it? Well, it turns out that I'm a second generation business appraiser. My father ran the business appraisal practice for Ernst & Young North America for about 25 years until Sarbanes-Oxley basically took his business away with the stroke of a pen. And he is, it wasn't until he retired last year, one of the top five in the world at what he does. And this is not, you can say it's his kid beating his chest. He's not. I mean, he... When AIG went under and everybody was suing AIG, right, he was the guy in the witness stand telling the judge how much the number ought to be.
Wow.
When that happened to Lehman Brothers. He was the guy in the stand telling the judge what the number ought to be. When the New England Patriots sued the NFL and antitrust in the early 90s, how Robert Kraft got the team, he was the guy telling the government who ought to own the team, basically. So that's the evidence. I'm never going to compete with that, right? The problem is that over time, I've discovered that business appraisal is the only thing that I'm any good at that I can earn a good living at legally. And so I wound up doing that about 10 years ago. My wife sent my resume without my knowledge to a business valuation firm here in Atlanta. And that wound up turning into a job. And interestingly enough, the first four jobs I ever had out of school all came through either a blind box ad in the New York Times or it came through a job posting board.
Very interesting. So
the one way you're never supposed to get a job, that's why I got all my jobs.
No, that's wonderful. You know, you talk about fulfillment coming to you in the form of helping others. And something that was quite intriguing, and there's two topics here. Number one, you helped an organization get funded on the TV show Shark Tank. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Well, they looked to me for coaching. They basically said, look, I'm going on Shark Tank. How do I go on there and not look stupid? Frankly, I've never been on Shark Tank. I've never watched the show.
Sure.
I find those pitch things kind of tedious unless I'm actually in them.
Fair.
I'm sure Larry White's grateful now that he invited me to be on his program.
Yeah, exactly.
But I got to call it like I see it, right? But look, I do know how to get people in front of investors and how to let them, how to tell them how to say and what to say the right things once they get there, right?
Fair.
I got an anthrax company funded in Siberia to convert into a pharmaceutical company. That's pretty hard. So if you can do that, we ought to be able to get somebody on Shark Tank, get money out of Mark Cuban.
Fair.
And so he had this really cool idea, and I sat with him for a couple hours, and how do you do this? And he went on, that was a show I did watch. And he did a terrific job, but he just, you know, he focused on selling a company, not a product, because that's what you're selling. You're selling people the securities in your company. And the product has a little bit to do with it too. That's the showmanship part. But he focused on selling the company, answering the questions he knew succinctly, saying, I don't know, he didn't know. And it worked for him.
Very good. You know, in part of the show, and Chris, you're going to see Chris's fangs come out pretty soon. On this show, we have... two different segments we're going to be addressing with you very soon. First is
hot or not
topic. And the second is
plead the fifth.
Chris kind of runs those sections, Michael. So please be prepared for them. Chris, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Do I need to bring legal counsel to this?
You only get one plead the fifth, Michael, only one plead the fifth.
Oh my God.
Use it accordingly.
We're okay. About to bring the heat. But so I want to go back to the valuation because, you are a guy that I could like literally listen to just constantly. Like, I love your insight and the things that you say. I've learned so much from you. And so I'm almost intimidated as somebody who did valuations in the past and did a little expert witness testimony on the valuation front. I get asked all the time about rules of thumb or how much is a business worth, or, hey, you know what? It's just this multiple. So are there any sort of rules of thumb, or so how do you sort of take this complex art and science of valuation and communicate in a way that's like a listener could understand and take away? Like, is there any sort of rule of thumb or insight you can offer to the layman?
Yeah. So, you know, rules of thumb to my mind are guessing. So what I tell people is if you're inclined to use a rule of thumb, don't pay me. Paying me to guess makes no sense whatsoever, right? So the key to explaining anything is understanding it well yourself. You can't break something that you think you understand down into its constituent parts, then you yourself don't understand it well enough. I empathize with folks that look at what we do as black box, magic eight ball, gobbledygook with a bunch of Greek letters and weird squiggly lines. Because I was a French major, man. I was not this eco, super finance math guy. In fact, I flunked out of the Georgia Tech PhD program in less time than it took for George Lopez to flunk out of his show because I couldn't do the doggone math. I just couldn't do it, right? And so for me to understand what I do, I have to be able to break it down for myself and be able to explain it to myself as a non-financial, as a non-quantitative oriented audience. And then it's just step by step. Let's take a concept of discount rates. Okay. You and I as finance guys, we know what a discount rate is. You probably do too. A discount rate is how we convert future dollars into present dollars. You know what that is? That's a bird in the hand is two in the bush. The Vikings understood that. Right? that was on a stone tablet. You know, a stone tablet somewhere in England after they invaded. They carved out, yeah, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Right? That was a 50% discount rate.
We're getting impressions today.
It's not that hard to do.
So it sounds like your goal is you're really simplifying a lot. You're working to simplify something that people seem overwhelmed with the complexity of it.
Look, if your goal is to sound smart, right, then you can make something sound as complicated and use big words as you want. I can use big words. But if your goal is to actually solve a problem, then making something more complex never solves anything, ever. I challenge you to find a problem in life, in business, anywhere where making it more complicated led you closer to solution.
Yeah, and I learned that actually when I was on the stand doing expert witness testimony, because I had the impression that what impresses juries most is your credentials. You know, here's what I've done, or here's my credentials. And what I learned was they assume that, look, if you're there, you have the expertise. What the proxy for expertise is your ability to explain things simply. Kind of like the Einstein quote, if you can't explain it simply, then you don't understand it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And a mentor of mine once said, if you ever want to learn something, teach it. That's when you really figure out if you understand it. And to that point, it's why I don't do a lot of expert testimony, because there are concepts where there are cases where an attorney will tell you, look, you may have the right answer, but you can't bring that to a jury because they'll never understand it. Like, what? Yep. What? That makes no sense to me.
That's Michael. That's very, very smart. Simplifying. That's an amazing concept. As simple as it is, you seem to have mastered it. Before we get to hot or not, which I want to keep moving, you know, there is just an anomaly I heard about as well. I have to call you out on it. Are you holding day sessions at Taco Mac? Are you holding open sessions? Chris was telling me about. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So I hold what's called office hours. So I stole this from Chris's world. But when I first started doing Startup Lounge about 9 years ago, and people started to figure out, hey, this Blake guy, he knows a few angel investors and knows how to talk to them. You know, my phone started blowing up. My email started blowing up. Hey, can I have 15 minutes of your time, 30 minutes, 18 minutes, 12 seconds of your time? The problem is, you know, when Scott and I started Startup Lounge, we held ourselves out there as we're going to be these awesome guys. We're just going to help people for free. Well, when you start helping people for free, what happens? Everybody wants help.
Exactly.
And that starts to interfere with like your day gig that makes you money. And so, but I didn't want to kind of have to backtrack. So, oh, well, I didn't really mean I wanted to help you. So,
help. Yeah, not help.
You mean help? Exactly right. I wanted to make a promise and not have to uphold it. If you're holding me accountable, that's a different thing.
Wait, no, but there's a problem when Hanks is getting real loud on the mic here. So yeah. this is getting hot right now. Continue, Mike.
And we're not even pleased.
So, as a desperate attempt at time management, I said, what do professors do? They have office hours, right? So now, when people want to talk to me about things I'm never going to get paid for, which is fine, I say, look. Come to my office hours. It used to be a Taco Mac, but I get tired of their attitude, quite frankly.
Oh, wow. And I moved. So much for their potential sponsorship.
Yeah. Well, you might want to edit that. And I stopped doing it for a while because we toned Startup Lounge down. I thought it would go away. And people were like, hey, where are office hours go? Okay, I'll start office hours again. But that was a desperate attempt at time management to consolidate what basically wound up being the same darn questions anyway.
Fair. Right? Very
I have this idea. How do I get it funded? How do I talk to investors? Do you think I'm cute? Things like that. The same questions all over the place. And so, so if you can wait until the third Thursday of the month, I'm going to be at the Downwind Restaurant in Chamblee at Peachtree DeKalb Airport, 4 to 6. If you have to have the answer now, my hourly rate is $275 an hour.
Excellent. I like that.
So I'm giving people a choice. And if their question really can't wait, then I don't think there's anything wrong with charging for that urgency.
Yep.
But if it can wait and they can get it for free, they put themselves into a queue. I'm converting a queue from dollars into time. They can come see me and they can come drink.
Excellent. Let's jump to hot or not real quick, guys. And I'll start out real quick. These are topics, you know, you do a lot of business appraising. Of course, you know the dynamics
Thank
of the
you.
Business. As you said yourself, you know, a business is not so much about the product. It's about the dynamics that go on at the business. Do you like the idea of hiring family members, hot or not?
Yeah, if they're qualified, but you know, hiring Cletus because he needs a job, that doesn't make any sense.
I hope Cletus doesn't own Taco Mac because it just continues to spiral down.
Okay, so hot or not, equity or not taking on equity?
In terms of raising capital?
Yes.
Yes, hot.
Okay. And why is that?
Because money buys you time. Companies don't fail because they run out of capital. They fail because they run out of time. And so anytime you can convert something into more time, that helps your business because there's a better chance to be successful. GM ran out of money. They didn't run out of time. That's why they survived.
Pay out bonuses to employees?
Hot. Very hot.
Go ahead.
As Chris said, anytime that you can show two things, one, appreciation, and two, that their work, their effort, their sacrifice leads to something good, and preferably on a short time frame where it's easy to make that connection, do it.
So I imagine with your experience in the raising capital arena, you get asked this question fairly often, business plan or not, hot or not?
Yes, but not oldie timey business plan, right? Your business plan now should be an Excel spreadsheet, shouldn't be a 200-page document.
Fair. That goes back to the simplicity.
Yes.
Yeah. Excel spreadsheet plus deck, PowerPoint deck, or Excel spreadsheet.
The PowerPoint deck is it's providing narrative to the spreadsheet. The spreadsheet itself is the plan. If a spreadsheet is properly formulated, that is your to-do list, right? It starts with your end goal. If I do X, Y, and Z, it'll get here. Has your key performance indicators, your key performance drivers that actually bring you closer to that goal. And you're either meeting those key performance drivers or you're not. So that is the deck is superfluous.
Wow, these big words. I'm feeling high,
right. Extra. Like see, I'm being unsimple. See, I'm such a fat phony.
I was going to say hypocrite, Mike. Hypocrite.
Fat phony.
Words.
Plead it is extra.
How do you say that in French?
Superfluous. you just say extra.
Excellent. Well, we have a few minutes before we get to our next segment, which is a very special segment, and we'll talk about that in a moment. We're going to give it two or three plead the fifth now. Chris, unleash the fangs. Chris is very, very challenging on this.
You know, I actually do like to attempt to, just ask interesting questions that cause a little bit of discomfort, but I'm going to give you a softball one just because I'm really curious about your answer and you have special background in this, but like, what's your best piece of advice as far as raising capital to people? Because you spent so much time, for those who don't know, you're the co-founder of Startup Lounge, which was awesome. You did podcasts. I listened to every episode. That was incredibly well done, and I learned a ton from them. So the entrepreneur out there who says, hey, I want to raise capital, I don't know what to do, what's your best piece of advice?
Don't raise capital until you know what you're doing, right? Just running out and raising capital is almost just like running out of your house before you put your pants on and hoping a good thing happens. It's like, look at me, I don't have any pants on.
Brilliant. And Chris, you're right. You know, in this dynamic, Michael's expertise, you know, the plea to fifth are going to be challenging for him because nothing's going to stop him. In your experience, while you're doing the appraisals of businesses or in your own world, do you feel that it is a good idea to marry an entrepreneur or not?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll answer it this way. I did marry one.
Okay.
Right. And so we live our house in daily terror of being homeless and hungry because my wife has her own business. I have my own business.
Right? So is it a good idea?
Yeah.
Fair. And I like that you did.
All right. What are you, like, if your customers found out, what's the thing that your customers could find out about you that you would be most embarrassed about?
Oh, God, if they saw my office. there are skulls of Neanderthals somewhere under a pile of paper. Actually, probably the translation to the Mayan language is in there somewhere.
Chris, all one right. more plea the one fifth more. Before okay. the commercial break. Yeah.
How about, what's the best idea that you've heard for starting a business that you'll never use?
The best idea I've ever heard in terms of the subject of the business or the technique of starting a business?
Well,
the how to or the what?
The what is what I was referring to, but if you've got an insightful answer for the how to, I'll take both for 500.
Boy, I think anything having to do with Bitcoin, man, what a great gig. You just invent your own currency. Yeah. You just invent your own currency.
How about Blakecoin?
Absolutely. Blakecoin? That'd be awesome. Radio X coin. Let's just do it right now.
Yeah.
Radio
All right. X-coin. You could buy Blakecoin right now for $20.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Give them the website to sign up, guys.
Absolutely.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we have a very new segment. We have a student from the KSU Entrepreneurial Center here as a guest. He's going to be able to pitch his idea for 60 seconds. And goodness, I'm terrified to listen now, listening to you guys out there. I don't know how critical you're going to be. Plus, we'll get an opportunity to speak to Michael and ask some very pointed questions. Alex, give us our next break.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts that work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 now.
Thank you, Alex. What a nice commercial, not having to make you go through that litany of disclaimers from Oxygen.
By the way, I'm now petrified about my own IT security. So yes. She's actually very effective at that.
Well done. You're hired, Alex.
I have like sweat stains through my blazer here.
You are hired. Guys, we're live back here at Business Radio X with the Shrimp Tank. You can hear us every Tuesday from 4 to 5 live. You also, if you miss a program, you can watch us at www.shrimptankpodcast.com. So I want to welcome Dwayne Walker to the show. Dwayne, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Let me take a moment and compliment Dwayne about a few things before we have him take his pitch. So Dwayne was the winner of the 2015 Metro Chamber of Commerce Startup to Watch. And I find you're the winner of something even bigger than that. I was at an event about 2 weeks ago at KSU. We had about 150 people, but Dwayne got up in front of the entire audience of very successful entrepreneurs. He grabbed the microphone and said, "What, Dwayne? I'm going to let you do it because I remember it. I wrote it down here. I want you to make the same impact on our audience."
Okay. So one of the things that I said when I got up and spoke was I said that what the Entrepreneurship Center does for Kennesaw State University students is it doesn't just affect the people inside of the business school. You see, I see that a lot of people in the biology program, in the computer science program, even in the psychology program, they all are interested in being an entrepreneur, but they don't have the resources and things like that. And so what the Entrepreneurship Center does, it connects the students from each major, not just in the business school, and connects them together so they could pursue and be motivated to pursue that idea.
I love that. I mean, when I listened to Dwayne say that the other day, Chris, you know, and then you told me he was a guest today, I had to bring that up because it was so impactful. It was wonderful.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun and special for me to have a student. And Dwayne earned something. Actually, he won something way more important and much more coveted than that 2015 Metro Atlanta Chamber Startups to Watch category. You know what that is, Dwayne?
What is that? Oh, you're talking about Concept to Reality.
No, dude, not Concept to Reality. No, something way, way more important than that. My respect.
Oh. Woo!
So, yeah. You like that? No, yeah, so I just thought
about
blow
as valuable
your mind
as
right there.
Blake coin.
So,
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we know the hierarchy. It's like, more valuable? What are you talking about?
I know, right? Yeah. I'm thinking like, wow.
But no, Dwayne is special to me because, you know, it was, I transitioned from the program that I started at UGA, which meant a whole lot to me, to starting another center at Kennesaw State University. And Dwayne was the first student that I connected with and got to work with even before I started teaching classes. So, and the first piece of press that I ever sort of had was a story about Dwayne and myself, and that was kind of cool. So it's a lot of fun to see you sitting in the seat and ready to do. Now I'm really worried about you embarrassing me, but don't, because you got to bring the heat. You got to bring it, because now you're representing all students at Kennesaw State University.
No pressure, Dwayne. Yeah, so no I have pressure. A clock here. Don't look down at the clock. We'll make terror. You have 1 minute to pitch. Chris, I'll let you monitor.
All right,
that's all
so. I was homeschooled when I was younger, and one of the major problems in the homeschool industry is that parents could teach their kids how to do math or science, but if the kid actually wants to learn a creative subject like art or dance, the parent has to be an artist or a dancer in order to teach that. And so the resources that they have right now are really actually pretty horrible. So what I'm doing is I created Sparketh. Sparketh is an online extracurricular learning platform where what it does is combines video learning, and it combines emerging technologies to create a great learning experience for learning anything that's not academics, including art, dance, music. And right now we're starting with art and branching off from there. We launched 7 months ago with 4 courses. And right now we have over 150 videos and growing.
Awesome.
Well done.
Well done.
And timely.
Yeah. And if you go to spark.com, you can see like some very intelligent pictures of Dwayne. Dwayne's looking very intelligent. You look very, very, you know, you look professorial.
Yeah, because I teach a lot of the courses at first as we were trying to build and optimize how the courses are. So I taught a lot of the courses because I'm a self-taught artist as well. And so I was doing that. And yeah, there are a lot of funny pictures on there too. So
Dwayne,
yeah.
Could you spell that again? You guys have said it like you know it, but we don't know it on the outside looking in. Can you spell that website?
All right, definitely. It's Spark, Sparketh. So Sparketh. Sparketh.
I like it. So great idea, Michael. Any ideas? Let me ask you a question. What is the value of that idea? Keep it simple, Mike.
You know, right now the value is whatever you've invested in making it, getting it to that point. So do you have you obviously have a working platform. Mm-hmm. So how did you create the videos?
My business partner is a video editor. And so what we did was we already had a few equipment and we pretty much just bootstrapped it. We had a few equipment, got a few free location. And what we do is we have just different camera angles and we just follow the standards of our education for the United States and pretty much go based off of that.
Okay. So you had a technical co-founder.
Yeah,
right?
I have technical and I have a marketing co-founder as well.
Wow, terrific. So you're a pretty good team. So let me ask you this question. What keeps you up at night?
Wow, I was going to ask you that question.
Yeah, like, so I like how the tables have turned, right?
I like this, actually.
So yeah, Michael's interviewing Dwayne, where it was supposed to be the opposite. You know, Dwayne interviewing Michael.
On the fly.
So yeah, right?
Like
we're switching it up.
I like
that
this
was
better.
Funny. That's I can show you. That was my first question. But what keeps me up at night is that I'm constantly trying to get customers. I'm constantly, right now I'm in the stage where I'm testing out different traction channels. I'm constantly up at night wondering, why isn't that traction channel working? How can I tweak it? How can I A/B test this or that? And that's pretty much what's keeping me up at night right now.
See, and that shows your focus on the right thing. The beauty of bootstrapping is it clears out the clutter and you're focused on the thing that's most important, and that's the customer, because without the customer, there is no salary. Without customer, there is no business. So love it. Yeah. It's a way to represent, Dwayne. I like it. So you get your questions with all of this entrepreneurial greatness before you. So choose wisely, but go.
All right, you know, I'll just throw one right back at you, which is, what keeps you awake at night?
At my age, generally pizza.
Me too, actually.
It's not funny. Ulcerative colitis is a terrible thing. No, you know, it's actually the same thing. The thing, you know, a lot of my business is not recurring. And it's not because my clients fire me, it's because once I'm done, they generally don't need me anymore, especially if you sell a business. And so I'm always terrified the phone's never going to ring again. I'm always terrified that an email is from somebody asking for a quote on an appraisal assignment's never going to come in. I'm terrified the phone's never going to ring. That's what keeps me up. The problem is, no matter how long I stay up, it doesn't make the phone ring. In fact, it's really unlikely to ring at 2 a.m.
Wow.
So it's not that productive.
So guys, real quick, Dwayne, you have time for one more question from Michael.
Okay.
So it's got to be good. No pressure on this as well.
All right. So I would say, if you could call yourself from 5 years ago and you had 30 seconds to give yourself advice, what would you say?
My brain just exploded. That's a wonderful question.
Dwayne, where do you go to school again? I'm sorry. I forgot.
State University.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Because they do something in entrepreneurship there, I think, right? Is that right?
Yeah, they bring the heat.
I am sweating right now.
Wow. Way to represent, Dwayne. I like that question.
It's impressive. You brought it.
Thank you.
Be less broad, be more deep. You know, when I was younger and I was developing relationships for my business, there was not an event that I wouldn't attend. There was not a meeting I wouldn't take. And I flat out didn't say no enough.
I was going to lean in, Mike, and say, that's what she said, but I wanted you to finish her. I think we'll
she
end
did,
on that.
Well, note. She didn't, though. That's why I'm married. That's why I'm happily married.
We don't want to hashtag that one.
Fair. Yeah. Very fair. Right, guys, great answers. I want to thank Michael Blake for coming on the show, Dwayne Walker coming on the show. Next week, if you remember our DECA event where we actually held our first live Shrimp Tank, we actually have those three UGA students that have their businesses coming on the show next week as their victory prize for making it through the tank. So thank you again. We're here every Tuesday from 4 to 5 for listening to the Shrimp Tank, and we will see you next week with our new guests from UGA.